This is Nurse Guzer News for the week of October 7th, 2019, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guests are Gabor Torok and Mark Day. Gabor and Mark are both software engineers in the Infrastructure Services Group. Gabor and Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, today's topic is iris. So, first of all, what is iris other than a beautiful flower?
Iris is the replacement for NIM, which is the identity and access management and banking tool used at NERSC.
Okay. So, why are we replacing NIM?
NIM has been great for the last 20 years. It did its job, but it's using aging technologies that are no longer supported in some cases. So we thought this would be a good time to introduce a more up-to-date set of software tools and kind of streamline the process, remove some of the requirements that were required of NIM back in the day but are no longer necessary.
Okay. So you said NIM was made out of kind of obsolete technology. So what kind of technologies are we using now for iris?
So iris is made up of multiple pieces. The banking part is custom software that we wrote in-house. It's a client-server application. On the front end, it's using React, which is a JavaScript framework. And on the back end, it's a Python app. And in between them is GraphQL, which is it's kind of like REST. It's a network layer that allows the client and the server to exchange information. The other parts of iris are the IAM system, and Mark can talk about that.
Yeah, one of the goals of this project was to remove code that we had to maintain if there were off-the-shelf components available. And so this frees up NERSC staff to kind of develop really added value components to the tool rather than reinventing capabilities that exist out there already. And so we based the identity and access management components on a tool suite from InCommon called their Trusted Access Platform. And so this is a set of IAM tools that are really designed to work in the research and education space. And so it's a lot of people solving very similar problems to the ones we're trying to solve.
Okay, and so you said IAM tools.
Yeah, I'm sorry, identity and access management.
Okay, identity and access management tools, okay. And so then we're able to leverage these existing tools to make this new iris system, and then we don't have to waste our time reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a lot of supercomputing centers in the world, but there's lots and lots of folks that are doing basic identity and authorization. And so there's nothing really unique about that in how we're using it. And so it really didn't make sense to spend all of our engineering time implementing that aspect of what NIM used to do.
Okay.
These tools did not exist when NIM was built. So these are newer technologies.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. So if we're spending our time making better and cooler things rather than reinventing things, then what better and cooler things are we adding into iris that aren't in NIM?
Yeah, so for users, I think one of the major benefits of iris over NIM is that in iris, when you see how much time you've used on one of the supercomputers, in NIM that was an aggregate number, like this day for this account you used X amount of hours. But in iris, you can click on that number and actually see your jobs. So you can see this job took this much time and this many nodes. And so you can drill all the way down. So it kind of takes the mystery out of why you were charged the amount that you were charged.
Oh, okay. That's kind of like on your bank account.
Yeah.
It doesn't just say you spent $500 today. It says
exactly
what you spent it on. Okay, that's great. So what else is there that's going to be better and new in iris?
I'll let Mark talk about this, but in the identity management part, even though we're using these tools that are not visible to the users, eventually it will set NERSC up to be able to do single sign-on, so you'll be able to log on with your home identity.
Right, we're moving towards using federated identity wherever possible, so people will be able to use home identities once they're registered in order to authenticate to NERSC and utilize NERSC services.
Oh, wow. So like in the future, then I can just log in as my identity at my institution and use NERSC?
Yeah, we're really trying to help people use passwords that they're most familiar with and use familiar login processes. And so, you know, ORCID and some of the other large identity providers are identities that people use much more frequently than their nurse one. And so we're really trying to make things more convenient for our users in the future. Now, initially, folks will still be using their nurse logins, and so I don't want to, you know, set the wrong impression initially, but we're setting ourselves up to be able to do that. Everything will be ready for federated identity, and we just didn't want to make too many changes all at once. So the first phase will be the new user interface and all of the new banking capabilities with the identity pieces kind of behind the scenes, and then we will, you know, once that is rolled out successfully, we'll start implementing some of these other changes.
Okay. Behind the scenes with this new IAM framework, we have maybe a different way, but that's easier sort of to understand what users have access to and what they don't.
I think from a user standpoint, hopefully it just means that accounts will be set up properly the first time. The principal investigators and the PI proxies will be able to see within their project who has access to which project directories, for instance. And as we roll out new services within NERSC, we're going to be able to group users together much more conveniently and I think have more accurate authorization decisions. So again, it's one of those things that people don't notice when it works well. They do notice when things don't quite work as intended, and I think what we're trying to do is to reduce the number of the opportunities for mistakes and just make account provisioning much more predictable.
Okay. Instead of being based on Oracle and then PHP for the front end, you're saying it's a JavaScript front end?
So one of the things users will see is a hopefully more modern and comfortable user interface. And on the back end, because we're using these off-the-shelf tools and libraries, we actually have to write a lot less code, a lot less custom code. So a lot of the bulk of what used to be in Oracle stored procedures is gone, and the PHP code has been simplified. And we're using more modern software engineering methodologies to accomplish the same thing.
Okay, so this is going to look like a much more modern website then.
I hope so. One of the benefits users get is because the front end is written in React using a UI toolkit, it will also work on your cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of nice.
Cool. So I can just check out how many jobs I've run or whatever.
Exactly.
On there. And then there's going to be some reporting in there too.
Yeah, there's multiple levels of reporting in the website for regular users. The same set of reports exist that used to be in NIM, with the addition that you can again drill down all the way to a job level. And then behind the scenes for PIs and managers, we have other types of reporting. The backend database of Iris is migrated in real time to a time series database that allows for all kinds of visualizations and reporting that did not exist with Oracle.
Oh, all right. Cool. Even though we were able to leverage existing tools, it sounds like there was still plenty of work that was done. So how was that made possible?
Yeah, so because just like NIM, Iris, you know, touches almost every aspect of the center, there was a lot of coordination between the teams. So I'm actually very thankful for all the effort of the various teams. The storage guys did a lot of work to make GPFS and HBSS now use the new APIs of Iris. And the same with CSG, how Slurm and S-Account and those tools used to interact with NIM has been changed to interact with Iris. And it's part of an ongoing effort to kind of streamline and simplify the process. But I feel like we've already made a lot of very beneficial changes that just make things a lot easier.
And there were contributions really kind of lab-wide, not just from within NERSC. We certainly got a lot of help and advice from staff in the identity group here at Lawrence Berkeley Lab. And so it really has been kind of a large number of people contributing to these changes.
Yeah, that's great. So this has been an ongoing effort, and you started...
We started working on this April of 2018, so it's been over a year. And we're hoping that it will be available to the public sometime early December this year. So we're going into the end of this allocation year and into the next allocation year, including the turnover using IRIS.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. So you started in April of 2018, and then a year later you had there was a review, right?
Yeah, so we had an inter-laboratory review where people from other scientific institutions came and we did a whole presentation where we described both the software and the use cases and what we're trying to accomplish and our limitations and gave them a sense of scale of how many users and jobs we're expecting. And that review went really well. It was mostly positive. They found a few small issues that were noted, and we have been working on those since. But overall, it was a very positive experience.
Okay. And so we're going to roll out IRIS in early December.
That's right.
Okay. That's very exciting. I can't wait. Are we still seeking any kind of help or feedback from users or anything?
Yes. It would be great if users could check out the tool, see what they think. If we missed any use cases, let us know. If something is suboptimal, also let us know. IRIS is currently in a mode where you can look at it, you can edit the data, but any changes you make will get overwritten by a nightly information dump from NIM. So every morning, every early in the morning, every day, we take the entire NIM data set and overwrite what's in IRIS. This is to, you know, keep it in sync with what's happening with changes in NIM. When we cut over to using IRIS, this process will be stopped. IRIS will be the source of truth, the authoritative source, and we're going to put NIM in a read-only state. So after the cutover, you can still go back to NIM, see your data, but you can't make any changes. If you need to make changes, you have to do them in IRIS.
Okay. And to access IRIS, the URL is?
iris.nurse.gov.
Okay. And it's IRIS like the flower or like the part of your eye or whatever.
I-R-I-S.
I-R-I-S. Okay. All right, well, thanks so much, Gabor and Mark, for joining me today.
You're welcome.